This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, and I'm the producer of this very program, a 30-year media veteran. It's Friday. Come on board.
Objection to motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
Well, this is an exciting day for the American people. It's an exciting day for the American economy.
You can't handle the truth.
I guess my main question is, what's it going to take? If all that, not to mention the dossier information, what's it going to take to actually get a special counsel?
It will take a factual basis that meets the standards of the appointment of a special counsel.
And is that analysis going on right now?
Well, it's in the manual of the Department of Justice about what's required. We've only had two. The first one was the Waco, Janet Reno, Senator Danforth, who took over that investigation as special counsel, and Mr. Mueller. Each of those are pretty special factual situation.
Let me ask it this
way. And we will use the proper standards, and that's what only thing I can tell you, Mr. Jordan.
Well, I appreciate that.
You can have your idea, but sometime we have to study what the facts are and to evaluate whether it meets the standard.
Well said. So let me ask you this. If in fact
a special counsel. I would say looks like is not enough basis to appoint a special counsel.
Golly.
Golly is right. So much going on this week. But first, today we're announcing a year-end matching challenge. It starts today, now. Any amount you donate to FRC, we get a matching gift from a generous donor. In this broadcast, and FRC's work depends upon you, our supporters, who truly care about the future of our nation, and we know you do. We hear from you all the time. You can donate at tonyperkins.com, and your gift will be doubled. And thanks to modern technology, you can also make a gift by texting. Now, don't text and drive, but texting FRC to 444-999. That's 444-999. Well, on today's show, we'll talk with the spokesperson for the Republican National Committee and get an update on the Uranium One scandal and Hillary Clinton's relationship with all of that and the Clinton Foundation. Still, many unanswered questions remain, and we heard Congressman Jim Jordan speak about that at the Attorney General Sessions hearing just a moment ago. And members of Congress met with Israeli members of the Knesset in D.C. this week. Greg Roman of the Middle East Forum will be here with an update. And the Senator Mendez fraud and bribery case ruled a mistrial. But did you even know there was a case against the Democratic senator? Crickets, crickets in the mainstream media. Tim Young with the Washington Examiner will be here with his thoughts. And a new poll says that most say the American dream is still within reach. Do you believe that? I'm going to want to hear from you in our last segment in the show. I'll share a few thoughts on the matter and we'll, of course, take your calls. Well, the FBI confidential informant who went undercover to look into Hillary Clinton's role in the Obama administration era uranium company was identified yesterday. William Campbell, a Russian lobbyist, is the informant, according to Reuters. Well, Cassie Smedley, the national press secretary at the Republican National Committee, is here. Lots to talk about today. Cassie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Roz, it's great to be back with you.
It's like drinking water from a fire hydrant.
Oh my goodness!
So I mean, I did that composition there because I know a lot of folks are glad it's Friday. But we ended that piece with hearing from Congressman Jim Jordan. Some memorable moments in that session weren't there?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think, it's tough because I really commend Jim Jordan and where he's coming from on this. This is something that people feel they don't understand why the Clintons have continued to get a pass. Somehow the rules just don't apply to them in the same way that they apply to others, right? And I do empathize and commend him for wanting to keep this issue at the forefront and keep holding fire to their feet on holding the Clintons accountable. And I do think that it's a bit of a tough situation because I know that the president has said that he wants the Justice Department to be run in a way that they continue to be credible. And so I know that if they are considering it, which I think they should, and I hope that after the testimony and the exchange of questionings with Secretary Sessions and Congressman Jordan, that it's a conversation that they'll take up again. But I certainly do agree with, I think, the vast majority of Americans and certainly supporters of the president, that there's something not right about the Clintons continuing mm-hmm. to just be able to skate by.
And I think for a lot of folks, people feel like there's just a double standard. I mean, we've seen it several times, a different standard, and the rules are different. And hopefully, he'll be testifying before the Congressional Committee about the 2010 sale of Uranium One, where Russian-backed company bought a uranium firm with mines in the U.S., and Campbell gave information to the FBI. I actually tried to reach out to his attorney today. She didn't return my call just to confirm some of these things, but the FBI about what he saw while undercover as an informant.
Right. Yeah, and I think that is very interesting. And the comments thus far, as you mentioned, we've only heard from his attorney. But to know that there is someone who really can help us get to the bottom of this right now, I think we have a little bit of a he said, she said. And to your point, so long as the Clintons continue to get to skate by and not be at least brought in to, I don't want to jump to conclusions and jump over due process for being held accountable, but we need answers. And it's if they're not going to give them to us, then I'm very glad that this FBI informant has been given the green light to share what he knows.
And congressional committees have apparently previously tried to interview Campbell, and
right.
He was undercover for roughly 5 years, I believe, working to get information on Russia's efforts to grow its atomic energy business in the U.S. And when mm-hmm. Clinton served as Secretary of State, Russia routed apparently millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, and former President Bill Clinton collected hundreds of thousands of dollars in Russian speaking fees as part of the Russian efforts to influence the U.S. government to approve the deal. So we've had John Solomon, who's done amazing research mm-hmm. on this, an investigation from The Hill.
Right. Isn't it amazing just how many things are just mere coincidences in the life of the Clintons,
yeah.
at least according to them? And I think that's what, I don't have that many coincidences in my life. I don't have that many coincidences trying to find a parking spot in the morning. And yet, it just seems that it's always, there's no connection to either of those two things. That's pure coincidence. But that's really something that they would have all of those ties and all of those places, and none of them have anything to do with the other. And so I, like so many others, am grateful for the willingness of this informant to come forward, and glad that we're going to be able to get some answers. Or even if the general public can't get the answers, which I understand, we want to protect his security, that these committees will be able to get some answers to move further along in the investigation.
Well, to pivot just a little bit, and I thought Jim Jordan kind of had the classic quote of the week, but Orrin Hatch, it was like one of Senator Orrin Hatch unloaded on Senator Brown, the Democrat from Ohio, yesterday night, after Brown accused Republicans of only protecting the rich in their new tax plan during the Senate Finance Committee hearing. Let's take a listen to what Senator Hatch had to say.
I come from the poor people. And I've been here working my whole stinking career for people who don't have a chance. And I really resent anybody saying that I'm just doing this for the rich. Give me a break. I think you guys overplay that all the time, and it gets old. And frankly, you ought to quit it.
Mr. Chairman, the public believes it.
I'm not through.
Okay.
I get kind of sick and tired of it. Mm-hmm. True, it's a nice political play
Well, Mr. Chairman,
it's not true.
With all due respect, I get sick and tired of the richest people.
Regular
in this
order,
country,
Mr. Chairman.
Getting richer and
regular
richer.
Order.
Rich,
order.
Regular order. Middle, we do a tax
regular order.
Rich and middle class.
Wait a minute.
Trade.
Wait a minute.
Regular order.
And over and over
wait,
again.
Wait just
how many
a second.
Times do we do this before we learn this, Mr. Chairman?
Listen, I've honored you by allowing you to spout off here. And what you said was not right. That's all I'm saying. I come from the lower middle class originally. We didn't have anything. So don't spew that stuff on me. I get a little tired of that. And let me just say something. Oh. If you didn't, if we worked together, we could pull this country out of every mess it's in. And we could do a lot of the things that you're talking about, too. And I think I've got a reputation of having worked together with Democrats.
Let's start with Chip.
Not starting with Chip. I did it. I've done it for years. I've got more bills.
Start with Chip today.
I got more bills passed than everybody on this committee put together. And they've been passed for the benefit of people in this country. Now, all I can say is I like you personally very much, but I'm telling you, you guys throw out here really gets old after a while. To do it right at the end of this was just not right. And it takes a lot to get me worked up like this.
Wow. That was an interesting exchange, and I think he probably speaks for a lot of folks that are listening right now.
Absolutely. I really applaud him for just hitting his limit because, you know, it gets so exhausting hearing the Democrats come out with the same old line before they ever see any bill text. That seems to be the only thing they can pull together. They're not trying to be a part of the solution. And I really commend Orrin Hatch and really others who are finally standing up and finally fighting back. You know, it's one of the things that I think we like so much about our president is that mm-hmm. you know every minute of every day he is fighting for us. And I know the Senate is known for its decorum and traditions, but that was a really refreshing and dare I say kind of exciting
right.
response that Orrin Hatch gave to really give it to him and push back on them because it's very frustrating. And the fact that you know, they were working, that was going through their committee markup, working on a bill that does keep the middle class at the center of it, and going through this regular order process, which we didn't see a lot of during the 8 years with President Obama. And there's something, you know, to a little bit of a policy geek like myself, very exciting about witnessing that and to have people just try and sideswipe all of that progress with a tired old talking point is, you know, frustrating and annoying, frankly.
And we bleeped. I mean, it wasn't all that bad on a scale of 1 to 10 on the bad word scale. You know, it was like a 2, 3, maybe.
But,
you know, this is a family-friendly show, and we
certainly.
Just like to be. And I think what we're hearing and what we've talked about all week, we've covered tax reform at length this week, but it's intended to stimulate job production, to stimulate small businesses, to give them more opportunities to hire more employees. And those more employees, they pay more taxes. Isn't that how it works, basically?
You said it. And, you know, Democrats love to say, oh, trickle-down economics. But I would say ripple effect economics.
Yep.
That's what, you know, what you do with one and what they're able to then do with the other. And you mentioned adding jobs to our economy. This isn't any just check the box, we added a job. These are good-paying jobs. And you know what I love most about the conversations we're having right now is that it's a very optimistic conversation. No longer is it, here's you know the pennies that
right.
you're going to have to hide under your mattress because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Now it's
exactly.
how far can you possibly go? It's a really exciting time.
Well, Cassie Smedley, spokesperson for the National Republican Party, thank you so much for being here on Washington Watch. Very informative. You have a blessed weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Well, what does an Israel victory look like with the Palestinian Authority? When we return, we're going to talk with Greg Roman of the Middle East Forum. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is powered by the Family Research Council. It's a pleasure to be with you. Happy Friday. It's been a busy week. So much going on in Washington, D.C. and politics. I know you're ready for a break. I'm ready for some turkey next week. Well, earlier this week, members of the Knesset, which is kind of like the parliament, Israel Victory Caucus, arrived in the U.S. to meet with their counterparts in the Congressional Israel Victory Caucus and signed an unprecedented joint declaration of support for and cooperation towards an Israel victory. And this unprecedented move is a joint declaration by members of Congress and Israel's Knesset, and it's laid the core principles of a bold new approach to ending the Israel-Palestinian conflict ahead of an unexpected new push for Middle East peace by President Trump. Well, with us now is Greg Roman, director of the Middle East Forum. Greg, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Russ. It's always good to be on.
Well, the Middle East Forum, you guys have got your fingers on the pulse of what's going on in the Middle East, especially Israel, and some of our colleagues and friends of this program were involved with this process, Congressman DeSantis, and I know you were a part of this process. Tell us a little bit about it. Give our listeners an idea of what this is all about.
Sure. So if we look at Morocco to Iran, Turkey to Djibouti, we find Israel is in the middle, an oasis of peace and tolerance in a sea of hatred, towards not just the values that the Jewish state stands for, but also for what America stands for. And what we find is that over the last 30 years of peace processing, from when Secretary of State George Shultz recognized Yasser Arafat, a vowed, renowned worldwide terrorist, as a potential negotiating partner for Israeli-Palestinian peace, there has only been more bloodshed between both sides. And we suppose that this is not because of Israeli alleged violence or occupation or anything else that comes out of the Arab vitriol that the different propaganda outlets in Arab capitals spew, but because solely for one reason, that the Palestinians reject the idea of living side by side with a Jewish state in their eternal land of Israel. So we decided to do something about that. With a new friendly president towards Israel in the Netanyahu administration, with members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat, cognizant of this reality, and also wide Zionist support in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, from all Zionist parties, both left and right, an ardent declaration was made yesterday, declaring essentially, not yesterday, but on Wednesday, that the Israelis and their members of Knesset and Americans and their members of Congress will no longer stand for Palestinian rejectionism of living side by side with Jews.
Now, Greg, the Trump administration apparently was called upon to demand from the Palestinians to recognize the state of Israel as the national homeland for the Jewish people as a precondition to future talks. I mean, isn't that the first step? You've got to acknowledge something exists before you can negotiate.
Right, and we have this nebulous answer going so far that when there was billions of dollars in aid on the table at the United Nations after the most recent spate between the Israelis and Palestinians, we saw someone who was called a moderate Palestinian leader, Salam Fayyad, refuse to sign a declaration that any future peace principle would be between two states for two peoples. For the Palestinians, they see a peace treaty with Israel as signing a treaty with any other state without having any recognition of that state being of Jewish character. And for the Israelis, who have been asked time and time again and have acquiesced to the idea time and time again in negotiations with the Palestinians, that they recognize the right to for there to be a state of Palestine devoid of any Jews. So it's essentially one and a half states for Palestinians, those who live in what they want to call Palestine proper, and then the Arab-Israeli minority within Israel, and then another state that they hope to take over in a second stage of the conflict after they're able to build up their own army and polity that is essentially based on rejecting the Israeli narrative. So yes, recognizing the fact that Israel is not just a state, but the Jewish state must be a precondition for any future agreement between both sides.
Now, two of the members of the Knesset caucus explained what, quote, victory might actually mean. Can you help explain just briefly what does victory look like, actually?
Sure. So the idea of victory and wars and conflicts throughout history has always been based on the principle that conflict does not end when one side wins, but the other acknowledges its loss. We can look at something in terms of military victory, like World War II with the Germans and the Japanese, or we can look at something that's more of a sophistic victory, like when Americans lost the will to fight in Vietnam. That eternal picture of the last helicopter leaving the U.S. Embassy in Saigon in May of 1975 comes to mind. So it's not so much that the Israelis are calling on the Palestinians to completely be defeated militarily, but for their national will, which is based on rejecting the other Israel as being something that is not a strategy for creating their own polity, culture, economy, and society. So an Israeli victory is Palestinian recognition of there to be a Jewish state living next door side by side as neighbors, not just in peace, but in mutual recognition.
And you know, I've been to Israel a number of times. Matter of fact, Tony and the Family Research Council will be hosting a trip to Israel the first part of next year. And many people don't realize there's like over 200,000 missiles aimed at Israel on any given day. And to live within that acknowledgement, you've got to work hard to protect your sovereignty.
Right. And it's not just about protecting your sovereignty, but also asserting it. And this is one of the reasons why there's not just active defense systems within Israel that prevents the incursions of missiles from coming across that Israeli aerial border and intercepting them before they land on the territory of the state, but also Israeli actions in Syria and in Lebanon, rather I would say alleged actions, that include over 100 different bombings of advanced weaponry that the Iranians have tried to provide to Hezbollah in Lebanon, those advanced game-changing weapons that have been intercepted at the Syrian Damascus International Airport, and also the Israeli incursions or disruptions, I would call it, in Gaza and in the Sinai Peninsula doing the same thing.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch. That's a great update. We'll have you back on again with further updates. Greg Roman, director of the Middle East Forum. You can find more information about the Middle East Forum at tonyperkins.com. Greg, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right. Well, up next, a federal judge ruled a mistrial in the Senator Bob Menendez fraud and bribery case. But did you even know that there was a case? The media was crickets about it. We'll talk with Tim Young of the Washington Examiner when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. This is Washington Watch.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council. I'm the producer of this very show, 30-year media veteran. Been around for a long time, and I thoroughly enjoy working with Tony and the team at FRC in Washington, D.C. Just class act people, and you can support this radio program in a number of ways. You can pray for us. You can send us your feedback and your comments. But you can also support the program. You can support the program by going to tonyperkins.com. Matching gift time. A $20 gift turns into $40. $50 gift turns into $100. If you like what you hear, and I know you do, we hear from you all the time, please join us in this time of matching challenge campaign. All right. Well, Senator Bob Menendez, you know who he is. Yesterday, federal judge declared a mistrial in his bribery case against the senator. The federal case against him and co-defendant Solomon Melgen ended when jurors could not reach a verdict on charges, including bribery, fraud, and false statements. But it was crickets, it seemed to be, with the mainstream media. If you listen to Washington Watch, of course, you heard about it here. We talked about it a number of times. But one investigative reporter who's been covering the case is Tim Young with the Washington Examiner. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me.
You ready for Thanksgiving? It's been quite a few weeks, hasn't it?
I tell you what, I'm ready to get away from the news for a few days, to tell you the truth. I'd like to hang out with some family and not worry about what's happening in the world.
Are you going to stay in D.C. or are you going somewhere?
So my dad is in Baltimore, so not too far, you know, and I have some folks flying in to hang out for Thanksgiving, so it'll be really nice.
Now, can you talk about politics at the Thanksgiving table, or is that one of those things you kind of avoid? So, you know, some families can't talk about it.
Well, you know, we're all pretty informed on it, so it's kind of a repetitive conversation by the time we get there. So I luck out, you know, and everybody's also on the same page, so there's no arguing either.
That's very helpful, very helpful. Well, tell us, I know you've been on this Menendez case. He was charged with 12 counts of conspiracy, bribery, and fraud that could carry a lengthy prison sentence, but ruled a mistrial.
Yeah. A really interesting case. I mean, I guess Bob Menendez buddied up with Salomon Melgen, the doctor. And Salomon had some problems with CMS, Center for Medicaid, Medicare. And he had just happened to inconveniently overbill Medicare $8.9 million. So you know how that happens. Sometimes you accidentally overbill almost $10 million. And so, you know, he helped out Bob by flying him around the globe and giving him some great vacation spots to hang out in and some money for his campaign. And Bob kind of helped intervene with this CMS situation. And you would have never known that it happened if you were watching any of the major TV networks.
And why is that? You know, you tune in to certain networks will remain unmentioned or online digital platforms, newspapers. There's just some stories you just don't hear about, and they're major stories. This is a sitting senator.
It's groundbreaking. I can't tell you the last time that there was a sitting senator who was brought to trial for something like this or brought to trial at all. So, you know, you'd think that this would be, you know, at least the first 5 minutes of news programs, but you know, as we've seen over the past few years, a lot of the major networks are extraordinarily biased and don't want to cover when a Democrat happens to get in some serious trouble.
And the judge ruled a mistrial, but Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said yesterday called for a Senate Ethics Committee investigation. So what might that mean?
That means that, you know, Bob Menendez, basically the reason there was a mistrial was because there was a completely hung jury that couldn't make a decision on this. And so they had to give up on it, basically. So what's going to happen is that'll go to Senate Ethics, and there will be a decision made there whether or not he did something wrong.
And if they find him guilty of that, what could happen after that?
All sorts of fun stuff. He could be removed from office. He could just be, you know, have a hand slap. There are a few different options, you know, ranging from the worst being that he would be removed from office. But, you know, I feel like the Ethics Committee is going to be pretty busy over the next couple of weeks and months here.
Yeah. And you know, the Senate Democrats had feared the possibility that he would be forced to resign. And with a Republican governor in charge of the state, which could have led to a Republican senator being named to fill the remainder of his term. That was another dynamic, right? Or it is.
Well, it was. You know, Chris Christie will end his term soon, and there will be a Democrat taking his place. Chris Christie's approval and work there in New Jersey didn't go over well with the voters of that state. So I think they're safe. If he's removed or resigns, then there will be another Democrat put in there, as opposed to, you know, having an option of a Republican from New Jersey, which would be very interesting to have a Republican senator from New Jersey.
And I know you've been on tax reform, too. Any thoughts on how that's going to go down in the Senate? Just real briefly, about out of time.
I think everyone's going to have a great Christmas here. We're going to get tax reform passed.
Well, Tim Young with the Washington Examiner, investigative reporter, thank you so much for taking time to be with us on this Friday. I know you're busy. You have a great week and great weekend, okay?
You too.
All right. Thanks so much. Well, is the American dream still in reach? I think so, but apparently I'm not alone. There's a new poll that says so. We're going to talk about it when we return. Give us a call at 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. What are you doing to pursue the American dream?
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference?
Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Happy, happy Friday. It's Friday. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to this show that's powered by the Family Research Council. We're in a matching challenge campaign, folks. If you appreciate this program and the work of the Family Research Council, we will get a matching gift for any amount. $10 becomes $20, $20 becomes $40, $1,000 becomes $2,000. Just go to TonyPerkins.com, TonyPerkins.com, and you can also text FRC at 444-999, 444-999. And as the producer, let me tell you, there's a lot of work that goes into producing this one-hour show. You get some of the top lawmakers in the nation, newsmakers. We consistently, day after day, bring you the worldview that we know that's important to you, a biblical worldview, and it's one of the few talk radio shows in the country that brings you this level of quality, and it's an honor to be here day in and day out. And Tony Perkins and the team all bring this together in so many ways, so many ways. You can learn more at TonyPerkins.com and donate there. Well, a new poll finds most Americans think the American dream is within reach for them. Only about 1 in 5, 17%, say the American dream is out of reach for their family, according to the Pew Research Foundation. And, you know, at 57, yeah, I'm 57, but I've got a young spirit. I still have things on my bucket list. And under this administration, I feel like things are even more in reach, and there's opportunities, and I have things that I'm checking off my list. You know, there's few things that I have regrets with in life, but one of them was not serving in our nation's military. And I'll be able to say more about this the next time I guest host, but there may be an opportunity in an organization called the Mississippi State Guard that I can enter as a first lieutenant and serve. It's all voluntary, all volunteer. It's an auxiliary to the National Guard. And you know, Tony Perkins was a Marine. Our own General Boykin was in the Army. They enjoy a nice little bantering back and forth. It's fun. But the American dream, most think the American dream is within reach. And I've traveled all over the world, and I'm telling you, there's no other place. You know, we're not perfect, but there's a lot of things we get right. Well, let's go to Stephen in Nashville. Stephen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Just driving home from work, and I was listening to your radio, and I was just hoping to comment on the pursuing the American dream. Of course, I think of it as being able to work hard and display my efforts and my product and what I do. And so it's not really so much where I work. I work in a Christian organization. I can't only say that much, but and it's also corporate. But they seem to take the C out of the Christian part of it, and we are required. We just sat through a Muslim training to include them into our Christian organization because we're not allowed to express anything against them. And it's quite I find myself saying, well, I do want to progress. I've put several years into this company, and all I have to do is just say, yeah, I won't support Trump. I won't. I'll support anybody who walks in their door and their ideologies. And as long as I do that, it's cool, you know. Mm-hmm. But let me say anything that's even like, well, have you even given them a chance to speak about what's important to them? There's not even a platform that you're automatically on the blacklist.
And you know, the American dream means different things to different people. Far fewer Americans say, like, quote, becoming wealthy is essential to that. But we all have to make choices of where we are and where we can best thrive and be who God's created us to be. Well, Stephen in Nashville, God's blessing on you. And I hope that situation or another situation might be a place where you can truly pursue what God wants for you as well. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. How are you pursuing the American dream? And is that dream, because we proclaim a Christian worldview here, is that American dream in line with what God wants, what the Bible says for you? A lot of times the American dream may or may not be in touch with a biblical perspective. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and let us know how you are serving. What are you doing to pursue what God has done for you? And according to this poll, overall, 36% of U.S. adults say their family has achieved the American dream, while another 46% say they are on their way to achieving it, according to this August survey by the Pew Research Center. The survey asked people about the American dream as they define it, and people who say they have already achieved the American dream are generally older, more affluent, and better educated than those who say they are on their way to achieving the American dream and those who say it's out of reach. So what does that look like? What does that look like for you? Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. And we're just a few days, you know, from Thanksgiving. And I'd also like to hear what your thought, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And how is that getting lived out? Are there things that you would like to see different as we wrap up this year, 2017? What are you going to do to make things different if you aren't living out that life that God has intended for you, that reflects the ways that you can best serve the nation, the ways you can best serve your family? What does that look like for you? And according to this survey, the partisan differences in impressions of whether people have reached the American dream are relatively modest. About 41% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents say they have achieved it compared to with 32% of Democrats and Democratic leaders. So, you know, one of the ways that we do that is holding each other accountable. And I have dear friends that know who I am and how I'm wired, and they push me and drive me. And I am absolutely blessed to be married to someone that does that as well. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and it's Friday. We've had so much going on this week, all the way from tax reform. Maybe healthcare will come around the corner again later this year. But also one of the stories that's in the news is the FBI may investigate allegations against Planned Parenthood. Have you heard about that? The FBI has asked the Senate to turn over documents about Planned Parenthood's alleged sale of baby parts. Pro-life supporters are hopeful this means the FBI is investigating Planned Parenthood and its sale of fetal tissue and body parts. Attorney General Sessions confirmed that the Senate Judiciary Committee's findings, if verified by the Justice Department's review, could form the basis of criminal charges against Planned Parenthood. This is according to the Center for Medical Progress, according to a statement that they released. Give us a call right now. I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Now let's go to Kansas. Garrett, are you there in Kansas?
Yeah, I'm driving right now and listening to the radio show.
Well, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Hey, I lived in Kansas for a number of years. How's the Sunflower State?
Yeah, it's great. And we had like 70-degree weather today, and I was out with my family at the zoo. So I thought I'd give a little input on the American dream, I guess.
Yeah, please.
Sure. So I'm 28 and I live out here in Kansas and I sell homes for a living. And, you know, depending on, I guess, what everybody's version of the American dream is, because I know that it's a little bit different for everybody. But, you know, I think of it as, you know, owning a home, having a family. Is that kind of the track that you were on?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can tell you this. I hear a lot of people who are maybe close to my age or just a little bit older, and I hear sometimes, like, you know, the system's kind of set against it, or it's a lot more difficult than it was for our parents or grandparents. And I can't say for sure what it was like in the 60s or 70s to buy a home, but, I mean, I know right now the system is really set up for people to be able to succeed in those type of situations. You know, I go in and help people with, you know, they check credit and they run income and they do this. And there's so many first-time buyer grants. And like I said, I'm just kind of talking about that section of, you know, owning a home, having your own place, where, I mean, there's programs out there to help people of every income with however many kids. Like, as long as you're doing what you need to be doing and you're not actively thwarting yourself, I feel like it's very easily obtainable for anybody who's just working towards it, I guess. Like, if it is your goal, it's easily obtainable is my thought.
Well, Steve or Garrett in Kansas, thanks so much for calling Washington Watch. I'll be out there seeing my kids for Thanksgiving. Let's go to Steve in Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that you just keep on pursuing the American dream. You never stop. I get up every morning, and as I am praying over my family and myself, I just pray the spirit of Caleb over me. I'm like you. I have a younger spirit, and even though I'm older, I'm still working full-time, and I really love it. I wouldn't have it any other way, and so I just think that you just keep on. Yeah, sometimes you have setbacks in life. but there's a God who takes care of you and meets all of our needs, and he's never away from you. He's always with you, and I just claim that every day, and I just walk with him.
Well, amen. Steve, thanks so much for calling Washington Watch. Let's go to Nancy in Tennessee. Try to get in as many calls as we can here. Nancy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
You're saying the American dream is possible, but we've got to fight. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. We've got to fight it because if they impeach Trump, we may never have another election. I just think there's a conspiracy going on that, and I have four great-grandchildren. You're 57, I'm 78. And I grieve for this country, and we've got to pray. We have got to pray continuously that the Republicans will stand up and fight back. Now, I don't mean fight hand and fist, but I mean we've got to fight these situations, just like the situation you had on a few minutes ago at the courts and all that. It just, I'm just desperate, and I pray constantly for President Trump. I do. For his safety, his family's safety, and for, I mean, he may not be the prince that we would like to have, but I think his heart is in the right place. I really do.
Well, Nancy, thanks so much, and you have a great weekend. Thank you. Let's go to Texas. Leah. Lee?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, Lee. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I heard the man call earlier who said he was with a Christian organization and that they were doing, sensitivity training for Muslims.
Right.
And I was just thinking, I'll just bet you anything that's a Southern Baptist convention, because Roy Moore in that organization has, he needs to be pushed out because he is advocating for the Muslims. And at one time, I think it was summer before last, he even advocated for helping them build their mosque, and he is for homosexuality. And I just can't believe that in the Southern Baptist Convention, and I grew up in the Baptist Church and still am Baptist, that they would allow someone like that to be in such a position of leadership and authority. And I think Christians, especially Baptists, need to call the Southern Baptist Convention and say, look, we don't like that we have somebody who is so liberal and someone who doesn't realize the threat of Islam, which wants to push their Sharia law into our courts, and it is a huge clash with our Constitution.
All right, Lee in Texas, thanks for calling. One more quick call. Ginny in Tennessee, you've got about 30 seconds. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
Hi, Jenny in Tennessee. You got about 30 seconds. Quick.
Okay. I just wanted to say, with Thanksgiving coming up, I had to witness that our life is more or less back to the land. And the reason I say that is my husband and I both worked for businesses, and we were striving for them. And we woke up one day hearing a voice calling us back to how people used to live and live the simple life in the country. We bought an old house. We fixed it up with our own hands. And, you know, to us, this is the American dream because we have more freedom. We can work when we want. We can choose not to work. And we live debt-free. We tell everybody, don't get the big house. Don't get the new cars and all that stuff. Don't go for that. Go for your freedom and self-sufficiency. We grow all our own food, and we just love it out here. And come Thanksgiving, our plate will be full of all this wonderful stuff the Lord has blessed us with.
All right. Ginny in Tennessee, thanks so much. We're out of time. We've got to go. I used to raise chickens in Kansas. I know all about that American dream. From Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hey, you can find Tony on Twitter at T Perkins. You can find me at Russ Jones Speaks. This is Friday's edition of Washington Watch. It's been a blessing to be with you. Go out and be strong, be courageous, and pursue God's glory in your life.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C.
For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.